This do, and thou shalt live. Ellen G. White. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. An important question was addressed to Christ by this lawyer. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? The answer is direct and positive. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus presented the whole law of God and said, This do, and thou shalt live. The first four commandments of the law grow out of our relation to God and demand the loving loyalty of our whole hearts. The last six grow out of our relations to our fellow man and require us to regard his interests as our own. The keeping of these commandments comprises the whole duty of man and presents the conditions of eternal life. Now the question is, will man comply with the requirements? Will he love God supremely and his neighbor as himself? There is no possible way for man to do this in his own strength. The divine power of Christ must be added to the effort of humanity. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Repentance toward God for our failure to keep his law is the first step in the Christian life, while faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ claims the merits of his blood for the remission of sins that are past, and makes us partakers of the divine nature. The carnal heart that is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, is made spiritual and exclaims with Christ, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. We cannot afford to make any mistakes in this matter, for our eternal interests are at stake. A correct faith will be made manifest in godly works, and will bring the whole life into harmony with the law of God. Faith and works must go hand in hand. When, through the goodness of God, our attention has been called to the demands of God's commandments, and light shines on us from his word, we are to believe and obey from the heart. An infinite price has been paid for our redemption, and ought we not to bestir ourselves to search the chart and prove to our souls that we are in the highway cast up for the righteous, and walking in the path of humble obedience? We are warned to make straight paths for our feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. We are examples to others, and if we pursue a wrong course and lead others away from the path of right, we shall be held accountable. We can see the importance, then, of having true faith, for it is the motive power of the Christian's life and action. But feeling is not faith. Emotion is not faith. We must bring our works and thoughts and emotions to the test of the Word, and true faith will be profoundly impressed by the voice of God and will act accordingly. If people would only search the Scriptures more diligently, false doctrines and heresies would be fewer. The test is written. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Everyone who will follow Christ will keep the commandments of God. The question will arise, is this convenient for me? But if you flatter yourself that God does not require you to keep His commandments because it interferes with your convenience, you make a sad mistake. Another leader is commanding you instead of the captain of your salvation. Jesus suffered and withstood the severest temptations, and finally yielded His life on Calvary's cross to demonstrate to every member of the human family that the law of God is immutable, and that not one jot or tittle can be put aside. The cross is a monument of its immutability, and thus it is demonstrated before all worlds, and before the angels, and before all men, that the law cannot cease to exert eternal jurisdiction. It sustains the throne of God, and is the rule of His government. If God could have changed one iota of His law, Jesus need not have come to our world to suffer and die. But He who was equal with the Father came and suffered even the death of the cross, to give man another probation.
Then if this great and infinite sacrifice has been made in our behalf, let us ask ourselves, what are we doing? Do we say, believe on Christ, and that is all? If we have not the faith that works by love and purifies the soul from every stain of sin, then we have a spurious faith. Christ is not the minister of sin. And what is sin? The only definition given in God's Word is, sin is the transgression of the law. And the Apostle Paul declares, where no law is, there is no transgression. The law is the great standard that will measure every man's character. God has given us the revelation of His will, and we shall be without excuse if we do not study the sacred word. Hear what the voice of the true shepherd says to you, and walk in the path of obedience and love. This do, said Jesus, and thou shalt live. We cannot afford to lose eternal life. May God grant that we may meet you around the throne of God, to sing with you the song of redemption in the kingdom of glory.